Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts that we might receive your word and bless us with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to bring you greetings from the Diocese of Tennessee and our Bishop John Bauerschmidt. It's great to be here in Texas. I also want to bring you greetings from All Saints Episcopal Church in Smyrna, where Sharon served her internship. And I just want to add one personal note, Sharon. Up until this point, I remember before when I was ordained, I thought I knew what was going to happen and followed a plan that was sort of written down. And after my ordination, nothing has turned out like I thought it would. I guess that's universally true, Bishop. But it's all turned out better than I thought it would. I want to share an idea that I have that I think is true for all of us in ministry in the church. That includes those of us who are ordained and also those of us who are lay people, all called to the same ministry. And the idea is this: God does not give us a work to do and then leave us alone to do it by ourselves. God does not give us a work to do and then leave us alone to do it ourselves. Instead, God gives us a work to do, and then God participates with us in doing the work. So what I want to talk about tonight is ministering in God's plan. And I want to talk about this in relationship to Matthew 9, in particular verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I think when you look at the church, it is often true that we look like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep really is not a good image for me. I think of us more like turkeys because I had turkeys in my backyard. And every morning about 5 o'clock, the turkeys come down from the trees, about 40 turkeys, and they run around on the ground. I can see them running around all during the day. And they look like turkeys without a shepherd. So I think about us as sort of like those turkeys, both ordained and lay. There's nobody here but us turkeys. And I wonder, you know, why do we look like this from the outside? And why do we look like this as we look at our own ministries? And I think the reason is that often we're not sure about what our job is. We think our job is one thing, but it's really us trying to do God's job. We forget that we have a shepherd. And we forget that the shepherd is the one who has the plan. Our job is not to make the plan. When we try and make a plan and then follow that plan, we look like turkeys or like sheep without a shepherd. Our job instead is to say, Lord, what are you doing here and now? And then, how can we help? It's important for us to know what our job is and also what the shepherd's job is. And I want to talk to you about this in relationship to what has happened at All Saints Episcopal Church in Smyrna, Tennessee. This is about 20 miles south of Nashville. All Saints was established in 1998 by Bishop Bert Herlong in the diocese, and it had steady growth from high school to shopping center to building its own place. By 2 years, in the year 2000, All Saints had bought 22 acres of land. Most of it was floodplain. They used it for softball games in the city. The city was very angry when we took it back and didn't let them use it for that anymore. But they, on the high ground, they built church buildings. And the church began to grow and to flourish. And then in 2006, if you look at the church rolls, there were about 250 people worshiping at church, and the average Sunday attendance was around 160. Not bad. Pretty good for 8 years of work. And then in November of 2006, the priest and 95% of the people left. We went from an ASA of 160 average Sunday attendance to an average Sunday of attendance of 17 in January of 2007. And in January of 2007, also our bishop was elected. So John Bauerschmidt came from New Orleans and came up to our diocese, and we found, he found this one church, All Saints in Smyrna, with 17 people. And did I mention we had $1 million worth of debt? And people were saying, well, maybe we need to sell the church. But John Bauerschmidt felt that All Saints had a mission in the Smyrna area, working class community. And John Bauerschmidt hung in there with us, and we began to pray, Lord, what should we do? And in 2008, after fill-ins for about a year, Bishop Bauerschmidt hired a vicar to come. And the prayer was, Lord, what shall we do? And the prayer was, Lord, we need some people. Because we were still going along around 35 or 40 people every Sunday. There weren't many people. Now, this is a dangerous prayer to pray. Lord, we need some people. I was a part of St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church up in Nashville for a long time. And we prayed for people one time. We said, Lord, we want to... I wasn't one of the ones praying. They prayed. Lord, send us some people. And Lord, we'd like to have a mission in Africa. I think they just... One of the things they wanted to do was to go there and give bicycles to priests in Africa so they could go around. And so they prayed that prayer. And then about a year later, we had 200 Sudanese people who were part of our church, the Lost Boys, if you know about the Sudanese, that grew to about 270. It's a dangerous prayer to pray for people. But that prayer was prayed at All Saints. And about several months after that prayer was prayed, five Karen people came, K-A-R-E-N. It's like Karen, but pronounced Karen, from Burma. And these folks are an ethnic minority in Burma, and they have been persecuted by the military dictatorship in Burma for decades. They lived up in the hill country. Many of them were Anglicans because of the British colonization. And that was one of the reasons they were persecuted. You know, Burma's a Buddhist country and a military dictatorship, and they didn't really like these folks up there. So they were waging war on these people up in the mountains. And most of the people left. There'd been so much fighting, so much killing, so much hurt, that most of the people in the Karen group had left and gone to Thailand. If you were 30 years old and a Karen person, you had been raised in refugee camps in Thailand. Never been to Burma. You were Burmese, but never been there. And then around 2006, the United States opened the borders for these folks to come to the United States as political refugees. So these five Karen leaders in the community came to All Saints, and they asked the vicar, could we come to your church? And the vicar, who had about 30 people every Sunday, said, please come. And the 30 American-born folks who were there were, yeah, these are people. And most of the folks were sort of into the idea that the Karen folks would come and be part of the church, because there were five You know, five, anybody can have five people. It's not going to upset what we're doing or the way, or as the bishop preached last Sunday, the perfect church. I listened to the bishop's sermon on the internet this morning. I didn't listen to all of it, but the first part was very good. The bishop was telling stories about kids, and he got about 5 minutes into the sermon. He said, "Now you're probably wondering what this has to do with the gospel today." And I said, "That's my kind of bishop." So these five people came, and Bishop Bauerschmidt said, "It looks like we do have a ministry in this area, because five people came, and then five more came, and then around 2000." Eight, we had an average Sunday attendance of about 80. 25 English-speaking, American-born folks. 55 folks from Burma. And the bishop said, "We need somebody down there who can speak Burmese." And so he hired a young man in the community named Ye Win. Ye Win was one of the people who had seen his friends killed by the Burmese military dictatorship, the Burmese army. Some of his friends had fought back. And he had come to love the Lord, but also to love his people. God had transformed his life. And the bishop said, "Let's hire this man to be our pastoral person, to be our lay worker." Let me tell you what Ye Win does. In 2011, in January, we'd gotten a call from this woman named Own Mint, who lived in Portland, Oregon, and her husband, Kwa Kwa, and their five kids. And they called and said, "We need to come to Smyrna," because they had been sent by the Catholic Charities to Portland. There weren't any more Karen people out there. The Karen are very much community-oriented people. They said, "We need to come to Smyrna." And they called week after week after week after week, and we said, "No, no, no, no." And then finally, Ye Win said, "I need to go to Portland, Oregon." So we flew Ye Win out to Portland, Oregon, and he got in these folks' van that had no heat. It was in the middle of winter. And drove the seven people in this family back to Smyrna. They had nothing. When people come from Thailand into our part of the country, they come with nothing. I mean, they literally may be carrying a bag, but they don't have anything else. Within a week, Ye Win had found these folks a place to live. He'd found them furniture. He'd found them clothes. He'd gotten the kids enrolled in school. He found them doctors to go to, because everybody who comes is sick. They've got something wrong with them. And within a week, these folks were established. He found the mother a job at Tyson Chicken Plant, because that's what a lot of our folks do. It's really hard work, but they're fairly a fair company. Within a week, that was what our ministry was. We began to see this happen. In 2009, Ye Win said, "Would it be all right if we farm some of this land down here?" Because our people were farmers. And so we said, "Yeah, you can farm the land. That'd be great." And so they began to farm the land, and they did it their own way. They did it the way they farmed in Burma. They dig a hole, put the plant in it, and it's down in the hole, and let it rain, and don't pay any attention to the weeds, and then harvest, and they sort of watch out for bugs and things like that. Not the American way to farm, but it works. Their food is the hottest food I've ever tasted. I don't eat it anymore. I work with the Sudanese, and I said, "I'm not going to eat goat anymore." The Sudanese men cook the goat. We had some of Chuck's chili today. It's the worst goat I have ever tasted. And I said, "I'm not going to eat it anymore." And I ate Korean food. The last time I ate a big Korean meal, I couldn't eat anything for a week, literally. So I said, I'm not, it's very inhospitable. I don't need it anymore. But the farm worked, and we began to pray for someone. We said, Lord, we need somebody to come and to help us do the farming, because none of us, we weren't farmers. So, just like the Lord brought Yewin, the Lord brought David and Annetta McGee. I was talking to somebody else from Louisiana and brought David and Annetta McGee from Church of the Holy Spirit up to Smyrna. They had come because they had worked so hard in the church, they wanted to get away from it. They said, we've had enough. You know, we burned them out there in Holy Spirit and Louisiana, and they came up there to come up and be with their grandkids. And, you know, they were going to come to church, but they didn't really want to do anything. So David and Netta walk into the church unsuspecting. And, of course, Church of the Holy Spirit is probably the only church in Louisiana that had a church farm. And David just happened to have a degree in agriculture that he'd never used. He was an engineer. David did a great job on our 1953 Ford tractor. And he did a great job sitting on the tractor being shaken to death that whole summer as he helped farm the land, plowing and leveling ground and trying to convince the Burmese that they had no idea what they were doing about farming and being frustrated because he couldn't get them to farm the American way. But God provided David and Annetta an answer to prayer. So, it's 2015. We have 340 members, 85% Karen. We have 35 active English-speaking American-born participants. Some of them from the very beginning of the church who faithfully prayed. We had no Sunday school in 2010. We now have a Sunday school that has regularly in attendance 60 or 70 kids, 80 kids on the roll under the age of 10. We have one of the world's great choirs made up of teenagers who prepare their own music and sing it on Sunday. They're great singers. They have no self-consciousness. I don't know. It's just amazing to me. So the question is, what kind of 8-year plan did we embark on that brought us from 17 people to 340 people? With an average Sunday attendance now of 180, what was the 8-year plan? How did this happen? I'm going to tell you, I don't have any idea. We did not have a plan. But God had a plan. God had a plan. God knew there was an empty building down there in Smyrna. God knew there was a bishop who would hang in and have a vision for what this place could be. God knew about Yewin. God knew about the farm and David McGee. Let me just tell you one weird thing. I'm about done. I don't know if anybody's keeping track, but I'm about done. Just a weird personal connection. In the Second World War, my dad was in India. And he was flying as a guest on a supply plane. And his plane went down. And guess where it went down? Burma. And guess who helped him get back to India? The Burmese. God is weird. And our church is a mission, so our work is the work of the entire diocese. It's a ministry that the diocese has made possible. We have a budget of about $150,000 a year, and we raise about 60 of that, and the diocese pays for the rest. But it's a place where you go, and you don't have to plan the mission of the church, because the mission of the church is the church. Now, I don't say this, I don't say all this to pat ourselves on the back. If you were to come to All Saints on a Sunday, it's It's like church chaos. I never know what's going to happen. When I get there, you know, we don't know who's going to serve. We don't know, you know. Typically, we have church, and then somebody will say, well, we've got a house blessing today. Let's go and do the house blessing. So we'll do the church, and then we'll go to somebody's apartment, two bedrooms, and we'll sit down in it, and there'll be 75 or 80 people there, and we'll do church all over again. My second sermons on Sunday are killer. But God had a plan. God had a plan for all saints, and God has a plan for you. I know y'all are living out God's plan here. And we are God's sheep. And Jesus loves us. And Jesus works alongside of us as we are helping him to give flesh to Jesus' plan. So this is a very exciting time. Sharon, you have no idea what's going to happen next. None of us do. But God has a plan for us. My favorite prayer is, Lord, help me today. That's one of them. This is for the ordained folks. Lord, help me today. This is a good prayer for anybody, though. You know, Lord, help. And then also, here's the second part of the prayer. Lord, help me to enjoy what you have given me to do. God answers those prayers. God takes us as clergy and uses our weird personalities. Everybody I think I've ever met in clergy has got sort of a strange personality. But God uses us as broken people to serve other broken people. It's a great thing. If it weren't for Jesus, I'd be sitting home watching ESPN, and I wouldn't know any of these Burmese people. I would never have gotten to meet you. I would be my own introverted self. I want to close by telling you my favorite part of our service at All Saints. It is when the children come down during the Holy Eucharist to come and be blessed. They all come down, filing down the middle aisle, and come and kneel at the altar, and we get to bless them. And we sing this song to them. I want to sing it to you. Yeshua Yafenya, Lisa Shini Debaya, Yami Bwawi Sabasa, Yeshua Meyu Weyuba, Mi Yeshua Ya, Mi Yeshua Ya, Mi Yeshua Ya. Lisa Shini Debaya. Jesus looked on the people and he had compassion on them. Jesus looks on us and has compassion on us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.